Tal Yireh Teire Manchter Chof Gimel Shvat Toshim Pei Talad Rebbe Moshe Akiva Brandeis.
If we considered naming, is that working, Rabbi Simcha? Apparently, this is the first time this mic is being used. Can you hear me at the back? Gevaldig. So if we had to suggest some names for Hamas, perhaps some words would come to mind, but not litzonim, scoffers, savages perhaps, beasts, animals, and then if you did that you'd have to apologize to the animal kingdom, because they only kill when hungry. But yet the Medrash uses the word leitz for Amalek. Now Amalek was the old-fashioned Hamas. So why is it that we describe them as leitzonim, as scoffers? There's a little bit of echo, a little bit of... Just helping you, Rabbi Yossi. I hope. Let's try to understand this Medrash. Yisroel in this week's parasha hears about Klal Yisroel and then comes to join. Vayishma Yisroel. What does he hear? Says Rashi, Melchemes Amalek and Kriyas Yamsuf. Ma Shmu Hashama Uvo. What did he hear? What news did he hear that attracted him to come to join Klal Yisroel? Kriyas Yamsuf, alright, we get that. Miraculous Kriyas Yamsuf. And then Milchemes Amalek. What was so attractive about Milchama, about a war, about people who antagonized Klal Yisrael, that attracted him to come to Klal Yisrael? Perhaps Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, the Makkas. The way the Ribbono Shel Olam dealt with Mitzrayim. But a war with Amalek. Says Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, what attracted Yisro to Klal Yisro was the fact that although the entire world was terrified of Klal Yisro, when they saw how the Ribbono Shel Olam dealt with anyone who starts up with them, and yet a nation can be so quickly, completely oblivious to the obvious messages, I've got to do something about this. Look how quickly inspiration dissipates. And that's why, Mashmu Hashoma, what did he hear? Uva. And he did something about it. The entire world heard. But Yisro decided, if this is what can happen to Amalek, what about me? And perhaps we can add with this Medrash. The Medrash says that Amalek were leitzonim, they were scoffers. What a description for a nation that wants to annihilate men, women and children living in the desert doing nothing to harm anybody. What do you want from these people? Let them live in the desert. How are they affecting you? This is what the Kirch of Litzonis is. I once saw a dictionary myself. It's an old dictionary that had, next to the word Jew, cheat. I'll quote you from Rav Avigdor Miller in Parashas Beshalach. I bought a Roger Thesaurus about 60 years ago and said it said like this. Under the entry Jew, it said these words. Deceiver, cheater, rogue, usurer, selfish, and I think I'm reading this word right, avaricious. Do you know that word? I don't. Sorry? I'm assuming it's a negative word. Okay. Either way, this is the thesaurus for the word Jew. But Avigdor Miller saw this himself. Here's the interesting thing. Now we obviously understand this as anti-Semitism. But I want to mechadash something to you, perhaps. Have you ever heard a Sheva Brachos joke that describes us Yidden as being stingy? I've heard tens of them. People, even in conversation, you hear people saying, you know, oh, it's Jewish. It becomes an adjective. Where does that come from? It's completely untrue. It's basic facts that we live with on a daily basis, and we are making these jokes. Jokes have to have some truth in them. People are making comments, oh, he's being Jewish. And you're supposed to understand from that he's tight-fisted, not generous. Even worse, a cheat. Really? Is that the truth? One of the local banks were proud to announce to the world that they just made in a campaign £65,000. A bank. We would expect, just on the hierarchy of the bank, that some of them should be giving at least that themselves. Not from all your billionaire, millionaire clients together, you managed to accumulate this grand sum of 65. I don't need to tell you that every weekend, just here in Manchester, in one kehillah of a few thousand families, triple, quadruple that is being raised, mostly locally. And we consider ourselves, I'm not quoting this thesaurus now, the old dictionary. What happens is, litzonah seeps in. We actually become affected by what we hear, even if it's negative, and even if it's completely not true. So if we want to look at a Moloch, yes, ultimately, it's the annihilation of innocent men, women and children. And you can call them savages, but that's the end of the road. If you want to look at the shayrish, the source of the row, the evil, where does it begin? If we want to understand it, if we want to understand how we should be affected by it, the Medrash tells you, they are litzonim. Scoffers. And as the Mesillas Yeshayahu describes what the problem of litzonus is, it's not people who laugh about other things. Litz is someone who takes what is important and makes it unimportant. What people would generally be inspired by and says, nah, big deal. Perhaps we've all had this experience. You can go through a shir that you were inspired by. You heard the line and then someone just says some comment. It just goes. The whole thing just disappears. In the language of the Mesillas Yeshayim, har litzonos achas doiche harbe min hatuchochos. A one-liner can get rid of so many tuchochos. As I was preparing the shir, I actually thought to myself, late is actually gematria 120. I'm not a gematria man, but just it was there on the page. Perhaps one litzonos, one late can get rid of 120 years of inspiration. Just a thought. What Yisroi taught himself was, I must do something with myself. I have to become closer to Klal Yisrael and Hashem if I want to ensure that the inspiration that was Kriyas Yamsuf remains with me for my life and for my family's lifetime. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in Talmud Ikra, asks why through the parasha he's sometimes called Yisroi and sometimes Chosen Moshe, and sometimes both. And he has such a beautiful pshat, and he says himself that this explains every single time it's mentioned in the Torah, whether it says Yisroi, or whether it says Chosen Moshe, or whether he's called both. I'm not going to go through every single one, I'll give you two of his examples. He goes through all of them. So look it up. First of all, in Parashas Yisroi, in Talmud Ikra, Chaim Kanievsky. He says the following. Whenever it says Yisroi, it's about himself. Yisroi, the man. When he's described as Chosen Moshe, it's in his position as the father nor the shver of Moshe Rabbeinu. When it says both, the Torah is talking about something which affects him, or he's affecting both as the father of Moshe and as Yisroi the man. So let's start at the beginning of the parasha. Vayishma Yisroi Chosen Moshe. Continue the pasuk. Do you have a chumash here? Sorry, I should have asked before. Thank you very much. Vayishma Yisroi Chosen Moshe. So he hears what's going on in the world. Now listen to what the pasuk actually says. is Kol Asher Osu Elikim L'Moshe Uli Yisrael Amoy. So he was hearing two aspects of what was going on. Number one, he was hearing what was happening to Kol Yisrael, the Makkos, Kriyas Yamsuf, how Hashem dealt with him as a nation. And also, what happened to his family. See, I forgot the mic there. What was happening to his family, Moshe Rabbeinu, his son-in-law. So because he was hearing what happened to Moshe, his Edom, or Yisroel Amoy, and to the whole nation, he's referred to as Yisroel Chosen Moshe. Because there's two elements here. He was hearing the news as a Shver, his Mishpacha was being affected, and also, as Yisroel, the man, look what's happening to the nation Klal Yisroel, time for me to do something about it. And then when he gives advice to Moshe Rabbeinu later in the parasha, when he sees all of Klal Yisroel standing in line, queues of people waiting to hear psak from the Moshe, the Manig, then it just calls him, it just says Chosen Moshe. Why? It's not about himself. Has nothing to do with himself. It's advice as a Shver to an Edom. That's what Shvers do, no? Whether the Edom likes it or not. So the Chosen Moshe is giving advice to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayichad Yisroi, just Yisroi, who was upset somewhat, as Rashi says, or who was excited, according to the other Pshat, about what had happened to Mitzrayim. Vayichad Yisroi has nothing to do with his position as the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Tes. And he goes through all the different times Yisroel is mentioned. A beautiful mahalach throughout the parasha. Look it up, V'timtzo Nachas.
What?
Which one are you challenging? Reb Chaim Kanievsky from? Go on. It's not me. Which one? Pasuk? Pasuk Yud Dalet. I don't think he mentions that one. Interesting question. I mean, before.
If you say Chosen Moshe,
That's perfect. That's exactly the one he's talking about. The one where he gives advice. That's this one. Vayar Chosen Moshe. So why is he speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu? Not as himself. He's speaking as the Shver of Moshe Rabbeinu, giving him advice. It's not about himself. Yes. Yeah? No, perfect. He actually brings that one. And then again, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the one that he mentions, but it's again exactly the same. Because it's all about Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah? So what do we see from here? Yisroi, as Reb Chaim Kanievsky points out, is building his own character. Not only as the Shver of Moshe Rabbeinu to joining Klal Yisrael, what about me? I also have to do something. I have to make changes in my life if I want to ensure that I don't have the Amalek element. I have to apologize before I do this, but I want to share a story that I imagine most of you will know, but it's the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. So if anyone wants to walk out, that's fine. It's Reb Shimshon Pinkus's... Sorry? It might put you... If that's fine. If it puts you to sleep, that's also fine.
It's a bedtime story.
That's... Reb Shimshon Pinkus goes through this story. And you have, you're writing, you have Goldilocks, who her mother tells her not to go out. She doesn't listen. And off she goes to the bear's house. So, Reb Shimshon Pinkus, here you have an innocent, as you said, bedtime story for kids. Now, what could be wrong with it? And I'm not telling you to go throw it out if you have it at home. Reb Shimshon Pinkus wants to point something out here, that we don't realize how outside influences seep in without us even realizing how litzonus works on a low level, even on a mild level. So he says, what's her name first of all? A completely external name. It's not even a name. Just describing her looks, Goldilocks. To give a child an impression that a person is external looks. That's a name. And then she doesn't listen to her mother. Great lesson there. And what does she do? Goes into a house without permission and steals. But one minute, she doesn't just steal. It has to be the way she likes it to be. Not the chair that's too high, or the chair that's too short, or the bed that's too hard, or the bed that's too soft. You still writing? Yeah, you got the whole story there? Yeah. You have it at home, you can write the horrors in the book. And the porridge is too hot or too cold, it has to be just right. So when you're steeding, it's also got to be exactly the way you like it. Not too hot, not too cold, too hard, too soft, too high, too short. And of course she gets away with it in the end, and they lived happily ever after. So here's a story that every single element in the story is really a belittling of what's important in life. A very mild level of litzonus. But Yisroi is concerned about that. He's not worried about becoming a Molech, that he's going to go out and annihilate a Klal Yisroel. But he's concerned that on a very low, mild level, there can be litzonus in his life. And if he wants to remain with this inspiration, he's got to do something about it. He's got to be a Yisro, not just a Chais in Moshe, that he sits in Midian as a Shver of Moshe Rabbeinu, living far away. He's Yisro. I've got to build Yisro here. As Rav Chaim Kanevsky points out throughout the parasha. The Chavetz Chaim says, in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Chavetz Chaim has a beautiful pshat. Moshe Rabbeinu talking about how he is now putting into place that which his Shver Yisrael has advised. When you have a question, when you have a problem, a challenge, come to me. I will judge between man and his fellow. And he explains to Yisrael how he behaves on a daily basis. And what does Yisro advise in later in the Psukim? V'hizharto esem es ha-chukim es ha-toyrois v'hidato lahem es ha-derech yilchu bo v'es ha-masa she-yasu. Yisro advises Moshe Rabbeinu, when you create the hierarchy, the system that Klal Yisro will live through, that each leader has a certain number underneath them, etc., and they move up to Moshe Rabbeinu, says Yisro, you will teach them the derech which we will go in, v'samasha shiyasim, which involve them, etzia lamadam at base. The Gemara says is referring to lefnim mishuras hadin. Interactive, personal relationships, all bin adam lechaveroi, and at the end, lefnim mishuras hadin, to live a life lefnim mishuras hadin. Says the Chofetz Chaim, back in the days, Chofetz Chaim says this already, Klal Yisrael were able to be strong even if it meant that the leaders, even if it meant that people were faltering, but the leadership was so strong and Klal Yisrael was so strong as a nation, that even if someone stumbled, they could fall back into place easily. He gives an example of a blind man. If he walks on the path that he generally goes every day, he won't stumble. But if you give him a new route to the shul, he'll find it difficult. Or if they put, as they are now around Manchester, new cones in the way, or new, he'll find it difficult to find his way, to navigate. Says the Chofetz Chaim, nowadays we have to realize it's every man to himself to decide how I will follow the leadership. It's not enough that we're just strong as a nation, but every person has to build his Yisro. Every person has to build his individuality. So he says, "V'zharto eshem esachukim esatoyrois v'idat alem esadav." Teach them the way. It's not enough that you, Moshe Rabbeinu, as the hierarchy, as the leader, teaches a way that they should then follow automatically. They have to understand it themselves. So that if the route changes, they themselves will be powerful enough to find a new way. Not to be blinded and not to stumble. So teach them. Show them the way. They should appreciate, they should understand it themselves. It should be in their DNA to know that there's a route which needs to be followed, the Torah route. To live with passion. You know, there was a story of Rabbi Israel Tauba. A father came, one of my favorite stories, I don't know if I've shared it here before, if I have I apologize in advance. Rabbi Israel Tauba, a father comes to him, I have a son who's challenged, who's struggling in Yiddishkeit. I shared it with you a few weeks ago. Yeah, oh, it's a beautiful story. And he says to Israel, can he come to you for a Shabbaton? For one of your Shalheves Shabbatons. Israel says, it's not really made for teenage boys. It's not really what we do. He says, look, I've tried everything. Could you do me a favor? We've spent money, we've sent him to different institutions. Nothing's worked. Would you have him for the Shabbos? So Israel says, listen, okay, fine. Although it's not really who it's catered for, he can come for the Shabbaton. The boy comes for the Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon, Rabbi Israel Tauba sees him going out. This is a cold, frosty, winter's Shabbos afternoon. And he understands that he's going out. If you're going out of the hotel on such a cold day, you're going out for a cigarette. So he turns to the boy and he says, imagine if Hashem, God, was here for Shabbos. He says, sorry? Just imagine if Hashem was here for Shabbos in the hotel and he asked you for a cigarette, would you give him a cigarette? He says, sure, I'd give him a whole pack. He says, God is asking you for that cigarette. Will you give it to him? Shabbos Kodesh, will you hold back from that cigarette? Hashem wants that cigarette. So we say, okay, yeah, I'll give Hashem that cigarette. Motzei Shabbos, he comes over to Israel Tauba and he tells him, I gave Hashem 4 cigarettes on Shabbos and a ride in the elevator. I took the stairs. I gave Hashem a ride in the elevator as well. And slowly, step by step, this boy turned back and came back to Yiddishkeit. What changed? What happened on this Shabbos afternoon? What happened that no one else, no other mechanech, no other institution, and I'm sure they're all great, were able to encourage, to inspire this boy that Rabbi Israel Tauba was actually successful with? He made him realize that he, as a person, has a relationship with Hashem. Not just about being part of Klal Yisrael and doing what you're supposed to do. Yisroi, the individual, you have a relationship. Hashem is asking you for a cigarette. It's not only a code of law. It's not just a Shulchan Aruch, a Chumash that you need to adhere to. You and Hashem. Hashem is asking for a cigarette. His automatic reaction was, I'll give him a pack. Sure. It's just a trigger, a 1 second trigger, and it changed his whole attitude. Because it's not only about being Chosen Moshe, our relationship to Moshe Ben Atar, it's about ourselves. Do we have a personal connection? That's the Yisroi. The decision that Yisroi made to actually do something about all the news that he's hearing. To get rid of the litzonos. There's a Meshe Chochma in this week's parasha. Yud Tes, Yud Beis. This is really about Sinai, Matan Torah, a phenomenal Meshe Chochma. When I saw it, I was so excited. I said it to the person on my left in Shotkov. I haven't spoken to him since we sit. I learn, he learns, he comes after me, leaves before I leave, so we haven't really spoken. I said, I'm interrupting you right now to tell you this Meshe Chochma. Hope you didn't mind. Vehigbalta. Rebbein Shem is giving the boundaries of Har Sinai. Telling everyone where they should be placed for the great Matan Torah. Vehigbalta es ha'om soviv. Take the nation and have the mountains surrounded by the people. They should be the border, the boundary. The Higbalta, a lotion of Gavul, a boundary. And then it says they should not touch the mountain. Anyone who does dies. Mois yumos. I don't know if you've seen any pictures of our Sinai, but they often have fences around them. The correct drawing would have the people as the boundary. There were no fences. Zot nemeshech chochma. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash and in the Mishkan, the walls were the boundaries and had Kedusha, walls of the Beis HaMikdash, walls of the Mishkan. What was the wall of Har Sinai? Clearly, there were defined marks. There were boundaries. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu allowed? Where were the Zkenim allowed? Where were Klal Yisrael allowed? So boundaries must have walls. He says the walls were the people. Vigbalta, the Gvul is, Es Ha'om Saviv. The people are surrounding the mountain and they are the Gvul. So he says they have the Kedusha of the walls of Har Sinai. They are the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. They are the Gvul. And he says, therefore, they couldn't put their finger out. That's a brick of the Beis HaMikdash going into a wrong place. You don't belong there. If you're the wall, you're supposed to stay where you are. Walls are supposed to stay where they are. This is your Kedusha, and it stops right there. You put your hand forward, you're out of place. So, Kol HaNegeya Bahar Mois Yumos. Says the Meshech Chochma, this Kedusha remained forever. It was Kedusha La'osid. Klal Yisrael were niskadish at Har Sinai as the walls of Har Sinai, and it remained forever until this very day. He says later when it says, V'shochanti b'soicham, by the Mishkan, is because of this original Kedusha. It's not a new Kedusha. V'osuli mikdosh, you'll make a Mishkan, V'shochanti b'soicham b'soich kol echad ve'echad. My Kedusha will be, literally, in every single individual of Klal Yisrael forever. Which means we, as people, are kadosh with literal kedusha, v'shachanti b'soicham, with the Shechina, from that original standing that we had at Har Sinai. Never left. He says Har Sinai was only l'shah. Immediately after, the Pasuk says they were able to go up the mountain again. The same Pasuk that begins l'siga boyad, sokol yisokel. The very same Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Gimel, finishes, B'meshoi Chayovel, blast of the horn, Himo Ya'al of Ahar, up you go. Har Sinai was just for the time of Mount Torah. You know where Har Sinai is? Go for a climb. But we as individuals, that Kedusha remained forever. Yisrael. That's the individual. To appreciate that we are Kaddish as people, as individuals. We create the boundary. The boundaries that we have are created by us. The decisions we make are made by us. Yes, there's Hanhaga, there's Manhigim, there's a Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a Chosin Moshe. Yisro appreciates his position as the Shver of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he uses it. But he also understands that he's Yisro. He's an individual in its own right. He has Kedusha. He creates the Gvul. He is the Gvul of the Kedusha. He has that position. I want to share with you one last story. It's not Goldilocks this time. This is Reb Shamshon Rafael Hirsch speaking to a crowd of women. We have to appreciate that each generation has its challenges. People think, you know, nowadays, never been this way before. It's always been this way, just different. So he's talking to a room full of frum women. Nobody is wearing a head covering. Not one. He's a good Shomrei Torah mitzvahs in Frankfurt, Germany. And he's inspiring them to cover their hair. But it's very difficult. Besides, for the rest, just peer pressure is enough. So then he calls out and he says, if there's a woman in this room who's willing to be the first, I guarantee a child will light up the Klal Yisrael. Mrs. Rosenheim stands up. She's willing to be the first. Once there's one, her friends follow. Fast forward a few years. Knesia Gedoyla, Chavetz Chaim in attendance, Reb Chaim Oizer, the Ger Rebbe, and others. And Meir Shapiro stands up and he says, I want to crown someone with a name that has not been done before, unprecedented. And he says that Rabbi Yaakov Rosenheim will from now on be known as Meireinu, Rabbi Yaakov Rosenheim, the head of Agudas Yisrael, Talmud Chacham Muflag, a wealthy man, who is zeicha to two shulchanos, very successful in every aspect of his life, Ruchnius and Gashmius. This was the son that came from the Havtocha of Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, understanding that if somebody is willing to understand that I can be a Yisrael, that I can have an individual decision, regardless of peer pressure, regardless of what it means to be part of a crowd, appreciating what it means to be Chosen Moshe, or part of Klal Yisrael, but at the same time understanding that I am an individual who's niskadish at the Gevul of Har Sinai forever, and I am Yisroi, I have an individuality, and I can make decisions regardless of the world around, then we're zeicha to be crowned with Moreinu. All of us can have that quality. All of us can be a Yisroi. Thank you for listening. Good Shabbos.